PhD Education Matters. Thank you and have a great day.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. Support for WGTD comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Transfer to a more personalized education in four easy steps. Visit carthage.edu/admissions/transfer. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. This is Len Iquinta for Community Matters, and our guest this morning is Penny Leiter. Dr. Penny Leiter is on the faculty of UW Parkside, and our topic is high-impact community and business engagement programs for students at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. And I think this is a topic of importance to everyone in Kenosha and Racine and in Walworth. It's something that other educational institutions are doing in terms of community engagement, but I think there is something to be said for the extent to which Parkside has implemented its program and gotten it to a peak performance over the last decade that gives us a special star to give UWP this morning. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Len. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for coming and
Thank you for asking me.
Now, Professor Leiter is the Associate Professor of Health, Exercise Science, and Sport Management at UW Parkside. She's also the Interim Director, the Interim Faculty Director of Community and Business Engagement. And instead of going through a long story about what that means operationally, Penny, why don't you tell us what couple of examples can you cite of Parkside faculty and students being involved in the community that has produced interesting results?
Well, first of all, community engagement is really one of the hallmarks and part of the fabric of UW Parkside. So it's something that is totally ingrained throughout the campus. And over the years, we are now celebrating our 50th anniversary, and we have lots and lots of examples. I will say that we have embedded community engagement throughout the curriculum, from intro courses all the way to capstone courses. Sometimes the projects will involve just a small amount of time. Others will be the main portion of the course, or a main focus of the project is the main focus of the course. So, for example, in an entry-level course, I teach a course called Intro to Applied Health Sciences. It's designed for students who are interested in pre-health programs or in health programs for career opportunities. And one of the things that we have them do in this course is we have them go out and work with community agencies. Normally, it's nonprofit agencies. Sometimes they are for profit, but the majority of them are nonprofit, and they actually volunteer their time. And it's not just the process of volunteering their time, it's getting to know a little bit more about healthcare, diversity, the different dimensions and aspects of the individual they might be working with in the future. So, for example, in Racine, we have partnered with Healthcare Network, and it's a nonprofit services that's provided to low-income or those individuals who don't have healthcare in another form or fashion. We've also, not only that class do students go and volunteer, and we also have a medical Spanish course where students go and volunteer their ability to communicate with some of the patrons that come there. So they're able to actually provide some services that fills the gap in education or knowledge or just in conversation. So that one's been pretty interesting. The other one, we go all the way up to, again, a major focus activity is we highlight every year in our nonprofit breakfast a highlight or a best practice example. And this year, I'm really excited to talk about the focus on community activity that Professor Dave Wooten engaged in his class. It's a communications course. And they were instrumental in organizing and actually putting on an event to help raise awareness about drugs and alcohol. They also did fundraising. They raised over $2,500, and they promoted the activity through social media. That was hugely successful. so much that the partners themselves have wanted to continue working with Parkside on this. They were so thrilled. They actually came and supported him in a little mini discussion session, and so we were really pleased with that. We have activities that, for example, computer science students will often go out and they'll redesign websites. They will build databases. Of course, we have the App Factory. Another project that I have used in one of my courses is it's a women's health issues course, and I partnered with the Women's Resource Center in Racine. And that is an example of one I've been working with for probably about 4 or 5 years now. And when we offer the course every year, my students never fail me in really raising the bar and doing a lot more than they were before. But what they have done this past year, this past fall, was they did a variety of fundraising events and activities, and they actually created a GoFundMe page. And then we helped write a grant for the Women's Resource Center. And combined total, we raised over about $13,000. So that was pretty impressive to help support that organization. It's a domestic violence shelter. My students also decided to do healthy eating. So they went in and we cooked a meal and ate with the individuals, the domestic violence survivors at the shelters. We provided some healthy activities, some healing activities, creating different hands-on blankets and a variety of other arts and craft types of things. And then we also provided a photo shoot. One of the things we realized after working with this population is that many of them don't have pictures. When they leave their environment of being an abusive environment, they often leave with very little on their backs and have very little with them. So images or pictures was one thing that we provided them with, a photo shoot. We've done other things like undergarment fundraisers. That's something else that, you know, people donate clothes and they donate other maybe household items. But the undergarment is something very personal, and so that was one thing we had done. And then this year we also, our students heard very clearly that one thing that they also don't have many items, you know, houseware items, even cleaning supplies. So our students, through some of the funds that they raised, created these take-home or welcome-home packages. So when the women and children in most cases leave, they have a package of brand-new sheets and towels and pots and pans and dishes and glassware that they can take with them and start their new home and new life on a real positive note.
Those are really exciting examples, Professor Leiter. Now, this, though, and I should disclose, I'm on the advisory board for this, so I know a little bit more about this than I may be letting on. But I think one of the hallmarks of this program is that this goes way beyond just having students volunteer at some commercial or not-for-profit business. Could you explain that a little bit? I mean, that's a wonderful thing. I'm not denigrating that. Having young people go out and volunteer at any not-for-profit is a wonderful thing. But this is embedded in post-secondary education at the university. So tell us about that dimension and how you work on that dimension, what that brings.
Yes, thank you. So one of the things that is unique to community-based learning as opposed to just volunteering, and that, again, is something highly recommended, and one of the benefits to actually students engaging or experiencing these community engagement projects in their courses is that they go on and continue to volunteer in the future. So it helps prepare them to be civically engaged individuals. What we require for it to be a designated community-based learning course is that it meets certain criteria that includes best practices.
So what would those be? Those are for what I understand is something called high-impactful learning.
Right.
Maybe if we backed up and talked about what high-impactful learning is and why anybody would care.
So high-impactful learning, if you think about it this way, you can sit and be lectured to, or you can sit and read something, and you remember a little bit of it. But if you actually engage in an activity where you are applying that content or those concepts or those skills, it deepens the level of knowledge and impact of that content on that particular topic. So it reinforces the content of the course. It makes for a lot more exciting and positive experience in most cases for the students. It helps our community partners, hopefully, in some ways. We call it the co-educator experience. So our students are learning from them, and hopefully our partners are benefiting from some of our students' input. If you think about it, too, we're talking about this young energy, bright minds coming together to help solve problems or coming together to maybe help look at things in a different way. So many times they will put together a product of some sort, or it could be a service. Like I said, maybe data management or a website or fundraising activities or creating a campaign of awareness. So when we talk about high impact, it's just helping students have a deeper learning and understanding of what they're learning in the classroom. So it's more of an applied learning. There's lots of examples on our campus, even beyond community engagement. Internships is another great example of that. Research with faculty and staff. Even on-site campus employment could be that.
The Business Solutions Center.
Yes, the SEG, as well as the App Factory. So there's all kinds of different examples of high-impact practices that are continually going on in our campus.
And these have an outcome that's really effective in terms of persistence as well and retention, do they not? There's research on that. We're
absolutely
not just making this up or thinking, well, this sounds nice, but there's actual research.
This contributes
not only to student learning and career exploration and understanding of the world of work a little better and doing teamwork projects, but also encourages them to persist in their studies, which, of course, is the whole point, is to get the certificate or the degree.
Absolutely. So on our campus in particular, Helen Rosenberg has completed some research looking at retention rates of individuals or students who have participated in community-based learning projects or courses. And her research has shown that students are 1.5 times more likely to graduate if they've participated in a community-based learning project. We know that through national data that's pretty consistent. We see it's very helpful for all individuals, but it may be even more important for individuals of color or of low socioeconomic level.
So 1.5 times is the benefit. They persist to graduation 1.5 times more than the control population that doesn't have these high-impact practices.
Right.
Well, that's really significant, isn't it?
Yes.
That's a high level of significance. You don't get research results with that high level of significance all the time, do you?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. And again, you know, it's increasing persistence to graduation and increasing the quality of experience, increasing the connection of the students with each other in their class. So working with diverse communities is another benefit. Actually connecting greater with the faculty member. So again, it's not just, they're going to graduate, but they're more likely to be connected to the campus, connected to the community, and continue to practice civic engagement in the future. So really becoming well-rounded good citizens. And we know significant improvement in earning income or potential with the more education that you have. So it's just, to us, it's a very positive aspect, and it's something that we've been involved in for a very long time.
The impact of this practice at UW-Parkside on the Tri-County area is probably greatly increased by the fact that your graduates tend to stay in the Tri-County area.
Absolutely.
So this investment and engagement with community-based organizations and businesses then translates into some real meaningful engagement afterwards. And I've been looking at this program long enough since I've been back in Kenosha for the last two decades to have actually seen how that flow of students into the community is actually happening. And it's really quite exciting, isn't it?
It is. I think it, for me, it helps me continue hope in the future and knowing that, the generation that's coming through the pipeline now of higher education is for the most part very committed and to social learning and connecting with our environment and our community. And I think that's a direction that is a very positive direction for us to be in.
And it's wonderful that Carthage is the goal now of having community-based internships. And for Carthage, they have those opportunities tend to be all over the country and all over the world, which is really terrific. And that community-based engagement and civic engagement is a very important aspect of the curriculum here at Gateway Technical College as well, which is very welcome and really very exciting. I support both of those institutions, both Parkside and a Gateway in that respect, because I'm such a firm believer in community engagement. Now, Professor Leiter, I introduced you as the Interim Faculty Director of Community and Business Engagement. What does that mean?
Well, it means that I'm in the position at least part-time. They asked me to come on as the faculty director until they did a complete search. And so that search is actually underway now, and we'll kind of see what happens with that search. But what it means is that there's a faculty voice and a faculty hat at the table. And an important piece of community engagement and embedding community-based learning practices in courses is that we can help work with and through the steps that we have to do or engage in on our campus for curricular aspects, as well as be an individual to help provide professional development related to incorporating best practices for community engagement and community-based learning. So, for example, we know a lot of the literature says, you know, at least 15 hours, or some may say 20 hours of contact with an organization. We have varying levels of that, but we also look at it has to connect to the course content. We know that that works better, clearly. Obviously, that's one of our main goals. And then also we know that reflection is a really huge piece of it. So it's not just that they are going out and actively engaging with our community partners, but they're also reflecting on that. And they're reflecting back to the course content, they're reflecting back potentially on social issues, reflecting on their own personal development, their own thought process, really their own existence and how they fit in and how even maybe communication is different and how socioeconomic environments impact different individuals.
So that's then an integral part of it. We're in a university environment here, in a college and university environment in all three institutions we've just mentioned. And this really ties it into the curriculum.
Right.
This is more than just going outside the campus boundaries. And if I understand what you do, you actually mentor, coach, and connect faculty because graduate school does not prepare you particularly well to do this.
Yeah, so that is a part of what I do. We also have what I like to call a fantastic team. We have Deborah Karp, who's our Director of Community Business Engagement. We have Amy Garrigan, who is our Community Engagement Specialist. We also have Mary Wade, who's in charge of Internship Specialist. And then we have a student worker, and we have a new program associate, Alex. So we have lots of individuals in our team that work together, that connect faculty and staff with community partners, that help establish relationships, and sometimes serve as that initial connection. But that is one of the pluses, I think, to our particular campus, that we have that office. And, you know, we can help faculty and staff connect with those community partners and help them come up with what are some ways to reflect, to incorporate reflection in the courses, you know, not just adding on to the course, but embedding it throughout the course.
I once, about a year ago, had the wonderful opportunity to introduce one of your faculty to an organization in Kenosha, the Grace Welcome Center, mm-hmm. which deals with people in poverty and in various stages of homelessness and transition. And that became a two-semester project, as I understand it. And the professor, who has a great interest in research with respect to populations of marginalized women, but was doing that research on a different continent, has developed, she told me recently, an interest in doing that research here in the Tri-County area, which I considered a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Because when Parkside was just a gleam in the eye of some of my friends long ago, 55 years ago, this was what was envisioned, was that faculty would become engaged in the community in terms of its business and its civic and its not-for-profit functions and really contribute to our understanding of our problems and our solving of our problems. So this is really a very, very exciting program that all three institutions are engaged in. And Parkside in particular has gotten a national recognition for this program, which actually dates back a while. Could you tell us about that national recognition, Professor Leiter?
Sure. So our campus was the first campus in the state of Wisconsin, the first university in the state of Wisconsin, that received the Carnegie Community Engagement Award. Since then, we've also received, or as long as it was available, the President's Award. We've also were very instrumental in beginning some of the individuals that you know very well, Esther Lutvin being one of them, very instrumental in actually moving forward the Wisconsin Campus Compact As a result of that, there are several awards that it's a statewide organization that focuses on civic engagement and community engagement. And multiple members of our faculty and staff have received awards. I was extremely fortunate this year to receive the Sister Joel Award for Civic Engagement Practitioner Award, and I was very honored. Esther Letvin was there, so that was quite nice. Our former chancellor was involved in creating that. Actually, a couple of our chancellors were heavily involved in the creation and the moving forward of community engagement, Jack Keating being one of them. There's an award under his name as well as Esther Levin's.
Tell us about the Carnegie Commission designation and of our campus. What exactly that means?
So what that means is every 5 years approximately, we undergo a review, and they look for items such as how much is community engagement or civic engagement embedded throughout the entire campus. So it's embedded through the curriculum, through the campus, even things, for example, the mission statement, and beyond the curriculum. So looking at what different units or departments do that engage our community members, that get our students involved in community engagement. So it's really looking at the depths and the breadth of our engagement with our community. So they have acknowledged that we're one of the first ones to be recognized as such. So we're pretty excited to have maintained that for quite some time now.
That's terrific. We're here this morning on Community Matters with Professor Penny Leiter, Associate Professor at the UW Parkside Campus. And we're talking about community engagement in business and non-for-profit organizations of students, particularly at Parkside, with also reference to the other educational institutions here that also have a lot of community engagement and internship experiences built into their curriculum. And we're learning why it's important. Now, at the Parkside, Professor Leiter, we talked a little bit about these being embedded in the business curriculum, and we mentioned two things. There's a Small Business Solutions Center, and there's also an app factory building apps for Apple and Android devices.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit more about those services, too? Because this is not just for not-for-profits. That's a misconception that some in the community have. This extends to the businesses as well,
yes.
Who have projects that they would like to get done. And then we'll talk a little bit more later about how to get involved and to get those connections made. But tell us a little bit about in the business side, how that works and
so,
what they do.
So thank you. I'm not sure exactly all the steps that are involved for those two groups, but I do know that they provide services for local companies or businesses that have a need for developing an app, and they've been very successful at it. As a matter of fact, one of the apps I believe was here for the Kenosha for the bus services, and they came up with an app that individuals who were utilizing the bus services could find out what time that bus was to arrive at the next stop. So they can develop, they're quite advanced, compared to my knowledge completely, but quite advanced in coming up with ideas to solve people's interest or needs, and sometimes that might be, again, for a public service, or it could be for a company, like you said. So there's a whole variety of different, like we said, they often will do redesign websites, build databases for companies. You know, but you also have to think about they work with the company and or organization to find out what their needs are, what their mission is. So it ties in nicely. It's not just our students providing something for them. It's working with them. And it's really finding out more about that organization and helping whatever it is, whether it's a product or a service, really reflect what their needs are and reflects their overall mission of their particular organization or company. So, but they are available to provide that service. I know there is some cost involved for some of the services, but some of them are also at no cost.
That's right. And I have inadvertently checked up on you all because I know many organizations in town that have benefited from this, and I've gotten wonderful, wonderful feedback. I just wanted to let you know that the feedback I get has been terrific, particularly just recently. The most recent one was with respect to the App Factory, and the business involved was really actually quite surprised that performance was beyond expectations. Now, representatives of all of these programs, the business consulting, the App Factory, the faculty course involvement with businesses and not-for-profit organizations, there's going to be an enormous networking event mm-hmm. where you, listening, if you're a volunteer for one of these organizations, if you're a board member, if you're a manager, if you're a program director, maybe you or one of your representatives ought to be at Parkside on Friday, May 3rd, because at 7 a.m., we're going to have breakfast together. Mm-hmm. I'll be there. Penny, you'll be there.
I will sure be there.
Besides us being there, what's going to happen at that breakfast? Tell us about this networking function, about how people meet each other. That's how that program happened at the Grace Welcome Center. I brought people together there, and they said, oh, my gosh, we need to be in this together. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's always amazing to me what kind of relationships begin or partnerships begin at a breakfast. And it's by no means totally comprehensive of every organization in the community. But, you know, you always know someone who knows something else, and it sparks an idea. So what we do, we do a variety of different activities at this breakfast, but one of the main goals is to help faculty and staff connect with community partners or representatives from community partners to come up with maybe something that would fit nicely with their course, or a course that fits nicely with something that a community agency needs or needs assistance with. And it just starts to develop those preliminary connections and relationships. And some of them have been very, very successful. One of mine was a Women's Resource Center. I believe we met at that event, or it was on another women's area. So, you know, you never know who you're going to meet. And so we have a little bit of introduction of the faculty and staff, what their class is, what their primary area of research and teaching is in. And then community partners can come around and meet with them. So it's a meet and greet and walk around and connect with each other. We also will be highlighting our top Parkside community engagement course of the year. And the one that I mentioned previously with Dave Wooten, he worked with the Focus on Community. That's the one we're highlighting this particular year. Last year, we highlighted Teresa Castor's class, another communication course, in which they worked with Hospice Alliance and having students in her course actually meet with individuals who were in hospice and really tell their story. So they got their story told and shared with their family and loved ones and shared with themselves. So that's something that even I was very moved by. And after listening to them present at the conference, I had decided, that was in May of last year, I decided that's what I'm going to do with my mom. I'm going to go and I'm going to interview her, and I'm going to get my kids involved and have them interview her so that I get something on video of her. Unfortunately, she passed away at the end of May, and I never had an opportunity to do that. But I guarantee you we've done that, or we're doing that with my husband's parents. And we hope to do it even with my husband and I for our kids. So something very impactful, very meaningful and significant in the lives of individuals. So that was the one last year. So that's a couple of the activities we have. We also will have a keynote presentation. And this one we're really excited about too, Susan Dreyfus. And primarily we have you to thank, Lynn, for your connections with her and bringing in this nationally renowned speaker and highly influential individual to speak to our campus. And that will happen about 10 o'clock on that Friday.
So the way to do this, the way to get involved in this is to go to the website uwp.edu, put in a /, and then type in nonprofit-breakfast, and it will pop up on your screen. uwp.edu/nonprofit-breakfast, and then you will get a registration form. And you can register for the breakfast and the networking, which will run from 7 until 10 a.m. And that's going to include some recognition of former Chancellor Al Guskin. Some of you may remember who are listening, Al Guskin.
Yes.
A wonderful gentleman. Also Esther Letvin, who was the former Associate Vice Chancellor for what we called back then Extended Services. And they were very instrumental in kickstarting this many years ago. And we're going to be honoring and recognizing them at that breakfast. Then at 10 a.m., is when Susan Dreyfus, the president and chief executive officer of the Alliance for Strong Families and Communities, based just up the lake in Milwaukee, in downtown Milwaukee, she's going to come and talk about the report that she was a spark plug in getting done, called A National Imperative, Joining Forces to Strengthen Human Services in America. And what they found in this amazing study was all the roadblocks to effective not-for-profit delivery of human development services. And as someone who specializes in the not-for-profit sector myself, I and others immediately recognized that these were virtually universal to the entire not-for-profit sector. So she'll be coming and speaking at 10 o'clock and be focusing on solutions to those roadblocks as a part of her closing keynote presentation. Now, all of this is amazingly free because of Emmons Business Interiors, the Kenosha Community Foundation, the Racine Community Foundation, Educators Credit Union, and myself. The cost of this is being substantially underwritten. So go online. You can register for the whole Megillah, or you can just come at 10 a.m., and I really encourage our business and civic leaders who are going to be at the Kenosha Chamber Legislative Breakfast at the Kenosha Country Club earlier on May 3rd to, when that ends at 9 o'clock, and they always end promptly, drive on over to the Student Center at Parkside, go on up to the ballroom. Please register in advance so there's enough chairs for you. And at 10 o'clock, continue your self-education as to what matters by attending Susan Dreyfus's keynote on Friday, May 3rd. That's my sermon for you all.
And we want to mention that we're celebrating, our UW-Parkside is celebrating our 50 years of what we call powerful partnerships. So it's a real highlight for us, as I mentioned early in the presentation here today, or the talk today, that this really community engagement and civic engagement is really a foundation and fabric of our campus. We also have embedded it into our new civic engagement plan. So that's another strong commitment from UW-Parkside to be really leaders in civic engagement and community engagement.
Well, let's talk a little bit more, Professor Leiter, about the future. The campus has undergone a very impressive and detailed strategic planning process. It's identified pillars of engagement in education for the future and identified what's important. A huge pillar of that is continuing this focus on community-based research and learning and community engagement. You want to talk a little bit more about that and what you, not only you see in the structural, organizational, strategic plan for the future, but as a deeply engaged faculty member who has seen this all work yourself, what your hopes are for the future as well, Professor?
Well, I hope we continue to even evolve further into greater engagement, as well as really increasing the quality of experiences for all individuals, all members of our campus, as well as all students. And one of the things that we found is that one area we can improve upon is increasing greater access for diversity for individuals who maybe don't have the resources or maybe are first-year college students. We know that those individuals may engage in it less because of other commitments or maybe just not an awareness of it, but we know that those can have even greater impact on individuals who are first-year, first-generation college students or individuals of color. So we're kind of trying to focus on how to do that, how to have greater access and inclusiveness in that. We also want to work on even trying to make better improvements in the experience for our partners. You know, it takes a lot of hours on all sides, from the campus to the student, the faculty member, as well as the community partner, to have it be a successful project. And I would be remiss if I said that it's not always positive. However, it's always a learning experience in that there are occasions where things happen. Sometimes maybe it's an executive director who leaves in the middle of a project, and then you're left with trying to solve that issue. But they're all real world, real life problems or issues or challenges, and it makes for a great learning experience, whether, again, it turns up really positive, like some of the things I've talked about previously, or maybe not so positive. So that's one of our areas that we are hoping to just enhance that more. Also, we just have a new process now for our courses being designated. And so now our courses do have to go through an official designation process. And in that process, we look for some of the things I mentioned earlier. Is it embedded completely throughout the curriculum or is embedded with the curricular objectives? Does it have substantial connection with the partner? Is there reflection involved, et cetera? And so in order to do that, our faculty members, we're really trying to provide or elevate the consistency and the quality of all of our community-based learning courses. We have a community engagement certificate, so students can actually take a core set of courses that will help demonstrate to potential employers or other areas that they're interested in, maybe higher education if they're going into pre-health or other health professions. For example, that it'll demonstrate that they have that commitment to our community. And when employers, what they say they want when they're looking to hire people is not just a particular degree or not just a particular set of content knowledge, but really they want well-rounded individuals. They want people who can work together with teamwork, can work with diverse populations, have good communication skills, that have good work ethic. And all of those items, in addition to many more, are what we try to develop through community engagement and community-based learning courses. A couple other areas that are also high impact that also engage our community are internships. I know we mentioned that previously. We really focused on community-based learning in the designation process of that this past year. And now moving into next year, there's going to be a greater focus on internships. And again, making those more readily available for all students. Again, sometimes students may not choose that because of financial reasons. They work more hours than the average student out there throughout the country. They have many more other obligations, family or whatever it is. And so we're trying to search for funding opportunities to help make it easier for the students.
So that sounds to me like scholarships for supporting students who are involved in community engagement and community-based learning. I support one at Parkside, and I support one here at Gateway, which houses this radio station, because I'm such a firm believer in it. So people who believe in this and employers that believe in this concept of learning and engagement might want to consider that as another way of participating and co-creating the kind of learning communities and the kind of workforce that we need here in southeastern Wisconsin, isn't it?
Yes, very much so. I just spoke with our UW-Parkside Foundation Board this morning, and we were talking about that very same thing and how they might help connect our students with alumni and helping them connect with job opportunities and scholarships and internships, et cetera. So that's something that we're really trying to focus a little bit more on now. And looking at having that be, again, elevate the quality of internship experience. Again, it takes more time and effort. So we need people to oversee that. There needs to be processes involved and a way to assess it. So that's something else that we're trying to get a better grasp on for the future is assessing our outcomes in community engagement and internships.
What I'm hearing is that what you have developed is a very much evidence-based practice or collection of practices would be more accurate to engage students in learning and applying their learning and using that application to spur them to acquire more knowledge and more information. And you're doing it in a very structured way, even more structured as you move into the future, and you're trying to make sure that it has all of the rigorous thought and evaluation and metrics that any other kind of post-secondary education is expected to have. And because this is really something relatively new, you've been inventing this, and the whole country has been inventing this as we move along, because this goes far beyond just encouraging volunteering, and that you're making some really very significant strides now in putting this into the curriculum in a way that it can never be pulled back out, which is what I'd like to see. Am I correct in making that assumption?
That's an excellent assumption that you've identified there, and that we have embedded it so much. I mean, through the forethought of Al Guskin, for one, and Esther Levin, we mentioned previously, and Jack Keating, as well as many others along the way, Deborah Karp being one of those two more recently, where again, it's a part of the fabric of UW-Parkside. It's really one of the areas that's considered one of our hallmarks. when you talk about community-based learning, people on our campus know what that is. It's just a matter of, do they know all the best practices and do they know the evidence that supports it? So I think that helping get that message out to more of our students and helping them with the resources that they need to complete it is really our next step. We have been fortunate enough to receive some funding previously for our internships, and that proved to be quite successful for us. So that's something else we're looking at, again, is enhancing that, providing scholarships for students to participate in internships. But also with community engagement, there's not as much expense involved in community engagement. But sometimes our students don't even have a vehicle if they need to travel to a site off campus, or they don't have the time to do it outside of class. And so we've tried to solve that problem by either providing a bus fare or maybe a public transportation fare of some sort, as well as trying to provide some close by activities close to our campus and even on our campus. So there are opportunities where we bring community agencies to our campus and that students can engage there. We also consider our campus as a part of our community. You know, community members throughout Kenosha, Racine, Burlington, et cetera, come to our campus on a regular basis, and our students are there, our faculty and staff are there. So it's a community in and of itself. So that's often a place where students who can't otherwise travel could actually participate in a community engagement project there.
Well, it's very important because on campuses, especially like a Gateway and a Parkside, we have a lot of students that are just barely making it in terms of finances. They may be working two jobs, taking care of some family responsibilities, and carrying a full load, and that's a lot. You know, one of the most moving letters, I've never told you this, Professor Leiter, but one of the most moving letters I've ever received or read in my life was from a student who received one of my scholarships, and the individual said that because of this scholarship, and it wasn't huge, I did not have to take one more extra part-time job, and that made it possible for me to get this experience, which has changed my life.
Wow.
And that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool to see. Now, tell us again, as we wind up this morning, Penny, how does somebody get involved? Where do we find you on the web? are there websites, phone numbers? Do we send up signals with the bat searchlight? How do we get involved besides turning out on May 3rd for that breakfast?
Yes, we hope you all make it for that. If you just go to uwp.edu to our UW Parkside website, if you just type in community engagement or community-based learning, it will take you to a whole list of different community engagement activities on our campus. Community-based learning will take you to our current webpage. We are in the process of updating that to include community and business engagement because that's a new organizational structure for us. Or you can call 262-595-2635. Again, 262-595-2635. And that's our main office number. And Alex would be happy to sort of steer you in the direction that you have an interest in.
Now, that number may not be answered 24/7.
It might not be.
But you can leave voicemail.
Absolutely.
And I think that the website also allows you to file a contact form.
Yeah.
Is there a way?
And there is. My email address is there, as well as the other members I talked about previously, Amy Garrigan, Deborah Karp, Mary Wade. So depending on what area you're most interested in learning or connecting with us, you can reach us that way. It's probably the easiest way for you to remember it.
And I'm going to also put in a plug again for connecting with that Friday, May 3rd, nonprofit breakfast celebrating 50 years of powerful partnerships. You can register for that at uwp.edu/nonprofit-breakfast, or call that number, that same number that Professor just mentioned, 262-595-2635. You can share this broadcast with others. It'll be archived on the Community Matters website momentarily after this program concludes. And you can register for the whole day on Friday, the whole morning, that is, or you can register just for the Susan Dreyfus powerful keynote, which will be at 10 a.m., and that can be done online at that site as well. So for Community Matters, I thank you, Professor Leiter. This is Len Iaquinta saying, get informed and get involved.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Support comes from the Racine Theater Guild, bringing C.S. Lewis's Narnia to life in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, weekends through Sunday, April 14th. Tickets are available online at racinetheater.org or by calling 262-633-4218. Support for WGTD comes from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, offering an online master's degree in healthcare administration. Learn the skills necessary to